Okay, here we are. Hour number two on Monday. We have a lot to talk about. There are many things going on, and it's interesting to see how, in some cases, we'll put out material, and you'd think, wow, the mainstream is going to pick this, the mainstream alt news media is going to pick this right up and run with it. They don't. And then you have to always caution yourself, remind yourself, that probably 90% of the alt news media is either created opposition, controlled, influenced, or staffed by green screen ego trippers. Okay, they're pretend journalists. We did something last week. I tried to make a point out of how one of these people who is thought of as a journalist is in fact anything but. These are commentators. That's all they are. They're just little ego trippers playing games. Some of them are being paid. Some of them are paid shills. There's no question about that. This whole alt news world is completely compromised. And the big three, who do you think runs them? They don't run themselves. That's why many important stories are noticeably and perennially absent. They're not getting coverage. So we came on to something, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Hello, my wonderful partner. How are you?
I'm good. Happy holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a fun day today? As if I didn't know.
Yeah, it was a good day. Good day.
Very good.
How about you?
All right, never mind. Thank you for asking. It's another day. It's just hard work. One day flows into the next. There's no more demarcation anymore, except I guess what's on the calendar. It says it's a different day, but I it's a continuum to me. I can't figure it out. All right,
sure,
so
is.
what we did, it's got to be 6 weeks ago now, maybe more. When McKernan published his paper about DNA plasmids, nobody knew what that was. Finally, some figured it out. We jumped on that. And I may have stepped a little too far, but I don't think so. I think that's the third leg of the triad, as it were, of these bioweapon kill shots. You've got the mRNA. These are factors, right? The spike protein, right? And now you've got DNA plasmids. And we explained on the program exactly what these DNA plasmids do, which have always been, apparently, in most, if not all, of these so-called vaccines in the vials. And they're being injected into people. And what do they do? Tell them what they do. And then we're going to play a video or two. We've got some really good explanations. This is important for you to understand, that this thing is so damn sophisticated, it's not funny. And these plasmids are particularly evil and wicked in how they get into the body, infect usually E. coli, and begin to produce the mRNA information, which leads to the production of endless spike proteins in the body. Go ahead and give a little
bit more. Well, yeah, you've got most of it. So this DNA has been found as presumably contaminants. That's the innocent explanation.
That's their excuse, yeah.
Or, yes, what they will try to offer as an excuse. But finding DNA in these vials is significant because it's about 30% of the nucleic acid content that is in there. That's significant. When it comes down to these gene technologies, they do allow for trace amounts of DNA to be present because it is part of the manufacturing process to render significant amounts of mRNA. It's almost impossible to get all of the DNA out that's used as a template. But finding by weight 30% content of DNA doesn't look like that's just a contaminant. And it's now been found in both Moderna and Pfizer, and both the original monovalent versions of this injection and the bivalent boosters. That doesn't sound like it's an accident. And so we have both the plasmid circular DNA that's in there that could be uptaken by your microbiome, your bacteria, probably first E. coli, but then bacteria are known to share genetic information amongst themselves and sometimes even with your own body cells, and basically transform your microbiome into something that could produce spike protein or the genetic material for spike protein.
Would it produce spike directly? We were talking at one point that
it could.
The mRNA instructions were also being possibly produced by the E. coli.
Both are possible. So that's the circular plasmid DNA, but then also in the DNA that is present is linearized DNA. And that is dangerous because it is ripe for integration into your DNA. And depending on where it inserts, it could be problematic, and doubly so because it has an SV40 promoter, meaning that if it, SV40, for those that don't know, is the simian virus 40 that is made its way into the human population as a result of a contaminated culture for polio vaccine, and is now presumed to be present in some percentage of the population as part of its genome. So that promoter that's part of that virus, it's not the whole SV40 virus, but just the promoter, is also in this DNA that's in these vials being injected into people in a lipid nanoparticle. And if that makes its way into somebody's DNA, quite possibly you will have cancer. It's a very, very strong promoter. So if it inserts itself, integrates itself in the area of an oncogene, bingo. You've got a problem. And the fact that now this has been known now for several weeks, it is utterly stunning and groundbreaking. Several notable people have commented on it, including most recently Dr. Sakharat Bakhti, who is literally appalled by this. I mean, it's hard not to be appalled, but it has made noise. And yet none of the major alt news platforms are commenting on it. So make of that what you will.
Well, I know what I make of it. It's what I said. Everything's controlled. Simple. That's the hardest thing for people to understand. They can't control everything. The hell they can't. They own it. They created it. Of course they can control it.
And that is becoming more and more apparent as this research comes to light, and it is very notable and important. It's not being given its
no, not at all. It's being ignored. It's being buried. It's being covered up.
Being buried
under the carpet.
Yes.
That's what they do. They don't let it out. This is another perfect example of the utter control of the masses by the media, who look at these screens and think that they are getting some kind of a reflection, a reasonable perception, that that's reality. Nope. Wrong. And the old axiom, repeat a lie often enough. How about repeat a semi or quasi fact? How about repeat an opinion? How about repeat anything often enough through the auspices of the mainstream media, and people will believe it. They'll accept it. They do. Because they're not proactive about life anymore, most of them. Not you people. God, you're the last of the good people on this planet, most of you. It's true. It's just true. Repeat it over and over again. Act like it's part of the entire structure of culture, worldwide, doesn't matter, local, and you'll buy it. Here's a story, real quick, and I'm going to play a video. It written by Mark Crispin Miller, and he does some good writing. It has to do with what we've been talking about, what you all know about. We have a cancer outbreak here that is unprecedented. And this person, Miller, grabbed five or six little vignettes and put them together, and I put them in a headline. Here, read it. Figure skater Piper Gillis has ovarian cancer. This is a young woman, an athlete, figure skater, ovarian cancer. Where did she get that? Goalie Heinz Lindner has testicular cancer. Where did he get that? Cyclist Jan Polonk retires from heart irregularities. Cricketer Heath Streak treated for cancer. Golfer Michael Hendry diagnosed with cancer, otherwise known as leukemia. A footballer goes into cardiac arrest in Liverpool. An Australian footballer goes into cardiac arrest during the game. And I added to this, do you finally see the bioweapon time delay at work here? The body's symptomology reflex is shut down. Hundreds of millions of people are likely dying and don't know it. They've got no symptoms. From fevers to headaches to neurology issues, whatever. Their body has been suppressed. This weapon is so evil. It's horrible. Anyway, we got that story up. We got a lot of good material up there for you to consider. All right, while I pull this up, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I just to touch on the DNA bacterial plasmids, to cover that aspect, the significance of that would be that it could transform your microbiome so that it's producing noxious proteins. That you know it enters your bloodstream and makes you sick. The topic of the venom peptides was known early on by the Italian researchers that people infected with the virus, if their microbiome also became infected, they could begin manufacturing various compounds that were venom-like. Quite a few of them. Interestingly, the top two species of bacteria that were producing the most of these venom-like peptides were Clostridia and E. coli. So, if people with gut dysbiosis already, which gut dysbiosis to some degree these days, it's hard to find anybody with a normal.
Digestive and stomach issues.
You may or may not even have symptoms, but because of the glyphosate that's in the food and all the other chemicals and all the other assaults that we subject our gut microbiome to, it's not uncommon to have dysbiosis, whether you have symptoms or not. And if you're used to living with it, you think it's normal. Does anybody know what optimal health is these days? I don't know. But regardless, if you're going into this...
I like that question. Does anybody even know anymore? Yeah.
What's our reference standard? Has anybody ever really enjoyed optimal health?
That's right.
Hard to know. But if you're confronting this illness, the bioweapon, having a severe dysbiosis, meaning more pathogenic bacteria than beneficial bacteria, you're probably going to have a harder time of it because of the way this, the pathogenic bacteria can take advantage become infected by these plasmids and or the spike. The spike is possibly acting as a bacteriophage and also causing these bacteria to produce toxic proteins. That may be why there's such a wide disparity in the way people succumb to this illness. Some people just, don't have a hard time of it at all, barely know they have it. Others are taken down for weeks, if not months.
Yeah, I very good. I want to make one other point. It's a slightly off topic, but not really. And Erica monitors social media platforms, different groups. They have groups for almost everything. All the major problems, injuries, and deaths from this bioweapon, which is, again, so incredibly sophisticated in its ability to cause anti-life responses in the body. It'll kill you. It's deadly. No question. People would write in and say, well, let's take an example. A woman writes in and says, well, I had sex with a guy who was vaxxed, and I've had nothing but problems, and describes this whole litany of horrors, pain, bleeding, all sorts of things. Well, during sex, human procreation, there are body fluids exchanged. Now, if you go back to what Dr. Arnie Burkhard found in Europe, he autopsied two men. It was one in his 20s, one was in his 70s, something like that. And he found in the testes zero, as in none, spermatozoa or sperm, None. Instead, he found wall-to-wall spike proteins.
Mm.
They had taken over the male reproductive organs and probably the females suffering similarly. But anyhow, these women who have sex with a vaxxed opposite, especially if the man is the vaxxed, are getting an injection of spike protein directly into their uterus area. The uterine area is highly vascular, and these spike proteins coming out of the male, who no longer is producing sperm, understand, it's producing spike. That's in the payload. And these women are wondering why they're disabled all of a sudden. They're ruined.
There's been several examples of that. Yeah.
Many. That single act can take a woman out of the reproduction platform of our society immediately. They're gone. And these men are no longer able to procreate. They're gone. They're not producing sperm. This is crazy. That's what's happening. So understand that if you have sex with someone, and it doesn't even have to be the actual physical act, you can kiss somebody and exchange body fluids that way, and you're going to get dosed that way too. You can touch somebody. The body skin is like a sponge. Think of it as a wet, damp sponge, and it'll pick things up. Pull it right on in. So there's a lot out there to think about. You really can no longer engage, in normal dating in this culture. A, because most people, 80% plus, are vaxxed. Or B, because many people will lie about their vax status. Because they're beginning to figure it out. And they don't want to give up their good times. Their social mobility. So these are really difficult issues to confront people with. But damn it, they're the truth. That's reality. Backed by hard science.
That's been going on. And, you know, and sadly, people are learning the lesson the hard way. It's not a lot of good choices these days for young people, you know, trying to meet somebody, trying to...
How are you going to do it?
Build a life.
How are our normal children going to be born anymore? The act of procreation is supposed to be semi-sacred in terms of our sociology and culture. And now the woman is going to get a dose of spike protein and God only knows what else with it. So,
well, and even if a child is conceived, we don't, you know, if there's chromosomal damage, right, and there could be, you don't know what you're confronting.
No.
You know, what that child is going to be subjected to or suffer from. Hopefully it's nothing, but we don't know.
We don't know.
You know, when you're playing with nanotechnology and it has the ability to damage things at the chromosomal level, like this does.
It's just highly destructive. Terrible. Terrible. All right. Here is Dr. Jansi, Janci, Lindsay, Lindsay. Dr. Lindsay is a PhD. She's going to talk about the DNA plasmids and how they infect the E. coli in the digestive tract and then turn it into a nonstop spike factory, which will kill you sooner or later in most cases. All right, so here, and this is going to sound a little familiar to you, I think, because she's on the same page we are, which is very nice to see.
My name is Jansi Chun Lindsay. I'm a toxicologist and a molecular biologist with over 30 years of scientific experience, including vaccine development experience. Molecular biology is the study of DNA, RNA, and proteins, and I have a doctorate level degree in this. I appreciate your allowing me to speak on the urgent issue of the contamination of the COVID mRNA genetic vaccines. Three separate labs across the globe have now found that the mRNA vaccines, both Pfizer and Moderna, are heavily contaminated with the DNA plasmids used to create the shots.
I would suggest, and I don't mean to interrupt very often, but the word contaminated, I would say that that's an ingredient rather than a contaminant, because it is almost universally available, apparently, in all of these vials. It's there. How could you be that incompetent in manufacturing? We talked about quality control. It's there. And I don't believe for a second it wasn't put there. I think it was. Anyway, go ahead.
In large volume, the contamination was found in every vial tested of 8 vials by genomist Kevin McKernan, both the monovalent shots and the boosters. The contaminating DNA plasmids are designed to infect E. coli, in which they are grown in large volumes. They are supposed to be separated away from the shot and the code that's injected into you, as their presence introduces DNA that is not allowed in the shots and which increases the risk of genomic integration and anaphylaxis. In Pfizer vaccines, these DNA plasmids are found to be present at up to 1/3 of the shot material.
1/3 of the actual fluid in the vax is DNA plasmids?
Well, 1/3 of 1/3 of the nucleic acids that are in there.
That's a huge amount. So this is...
Yes.
It can't be a contaminant. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
No.
This is not a slight contamination in the least. These DNA plasmids can infect the E. coli in your gut and make your gut a perpetual spike factory. They also have a human promoter from the SV40 virus. Those of us who are old enough to have received the polio vaccine, you'll remember that some of those vaccines were contaminated with the SV40 virus. This is a cancer-causing promoter that allows these plasmids to also infect our human cells. The promoter also has a localization signal that allows it to go to the nucleus of cells, making it more likely that there will be a genomic integration event from these shots. This most often results in cancers.
You're excused. This most often results in cancers. This is yet another trigger for this massive outbreak of cancers, which, again, are often undetectable until you get to stage 3 or stage 4. This is astounding, the whole thing.
Cancers of various form. An additional serious issue with the plasmid contamination is that they carry 2 antibiotic-resistant genes, decanamycin and neomycin. These are 2 major antibiotics that we use in medicine today. Canamycin is used to treat tuberculosis, and neomycin is a broad-spectrum antifungal that most of us use in triple antibiotic.
How did those 2 genes get in there?
Well, they're put there intentionally, so that when you're growing these plasmids, you can separate out the ones that have the gene of interest, being the gene for the spike protein, away from the original E. coli that did not uptake that particular gene. So you can separate out the bacteria that you want and the bacteria that you don't want.
Okay.
With the use of an antibiotic. The ones that are resistant won't die. The ones that are not resistant will die.
Okay.
These are used in hospitals all over the country today, and we have many immigrants coming across our border that are carrying tuberculosis. The potential consequence of this is that anybody injected with these contaminated shots could become antibiotic resistant to those 2 major classes of antibiotics.
Which would lead to, in the case of tuberculosis, MDR-TB.
The potential consequence of these plasmids being injected into billions of people carrying these genes is that they can also be shed. As workers in Seattle showed, there were lab workers working with COVID in Seattle that became contaminated with the plasmids that they were working with. The plasmids infected their nasal cavities. They took these plasmids home and shed them to their family members. They were found because the lab workers remained positive for COVID for several months, and they couldn't figure out why they kept testing positive for COVID. It was because they were carrying these plasmids in their nasal cavity.
When you're out and about and people are coughing or exhaling and you're inhaling, understand what this woman just said is critically important. You can inhale things that will take up residence in your sinus cavities and live there and spread throughout your body. They can replicate, they can do it. The door is wide open. So just keep that in mind. That's very interesting what you just said to me, that someone could get this in their nasal cavity, go home, and spread it to the family and not know it. No idea. None.
And they did pass them on to their family members. This is a very, very serious matter and has been brought up to the FDA and CDC several months ago, but they have not responded in any manner at all. Typically, this type of contamination would get the shots pulled off of the market immediately. We have seen an egregious number of deaths and disabilities that Laura discussed, and some of my colleagues will further discuss. We are up to over 35,000 deaths in the CDC VAERS system. These may be in part due to this contamination.
We would suggest that you multiply the VAERS number by 100, and you might be closer to reality.
This could also be an explanation for why the spike proteins and the mRNA have been found so far out from inoculation, what some people are calling long COVID, and found in tissues of the brain and the testes many months out from inoculation. mRNA is already being proposed to be used in cattle and has been used in swine since 2018 without our knowledge and without our permission. Historically, the genetic vaccines and the gene therapy had never been brought to market because of the severe adverse effects, including multiple cancers and lethal autoimmune reactions. These issues had not been resolved when they rolled out this genetic vaccine platform to billions of people. I know as a molecular biologist, they had not been resolved. We are asking for an immediate recall of these vaccines due to these significant dangers. The contamination of the shots and the adulteration of the shots, including the degradation of the mRNA, which has also been found, the risk they pose to others through shedding, and being passed on through the germline to the next generation as inadvertent gene transfer. We are asking that the entire platform be banned in food, agriculture, and especially for human use until further research can be done.
Just keep in mind what she said about shedding. If you're not on board with shedding in terms of understanding the reality of it, you better do some homework. If you're new to the program, shedding is more than real, and people are now dying from simply being around the vaxxed. They're clotting, they're stroking.
Yep.
And we know, we've explained multiple times how the spike protein can surround the heart and cause it to stop beating, shut it down. And if it gets into the brainstem, same thing. These are bioelectric signals that cause your autonomic nerves, that cause your body to function. And the spike can tear that down. There's so many different ways the spike can take people out. It's really daunting, the whole thing.
And now it appears more and more that there's redundancy programs built into this. If this thing doesn't work, then the next method will, or mechanism.
That's part of the sophistication. Whoever put this together really, really plotted it and planned it. It's just, you're right, the redundancy. If stage one doesn't get you, stage two will. It just depends. There are a lot of different ways for this thing to take you out.
Yeah.
It sounds like unbelievable. It sounds like impossible science fiction. But we still don't know all the tricks that they built into this thing. We don't know.
There's variability.
Right.
You know, with different people, it's doing different things based on probably their genetic makeup. I mean, just it's a slight difference in their receptor proteins for various things or signaling molecules. So, you know, a lot of people dropping dead from different things, you're not going to necessarily suspect it's the injection you took 9 months ago.
Or a year and a half ago.
Right.
Or 2 years ago. No, you
right.
won't. That's why I put that in the title. It's the bioweapon time delay. And you may have to wait through two or It'll get you. Sooner or later, it's going to do catastrophic damage to you, maybe by compounding or maybe just by running in and shutting your heart down. We don't know. There are a lot of different ways. But don't underestimate this. This is really a horrible thing. Okay, that's very good. You can find that under our names and guests, and I believe it's up in the archive as well, too, if you want to go through that and listen a couple times. It'll stick. It will stick.
I should add, too, we shouldn't leave out the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, because Kevin McKernan also analyzed that one, and that one was also found to have the SV40 promoter and also a CMV promoter, a cytomegalovirus promoter. These promoters are put in there to dramatically amplify the amount of protein that's being produced from it. So it's not as if the people that took the J&J are going to escape this cancer risk.
No. You got a needle in your arm. You got trouble.
And but I believe she said, Jancy said at the beginning of her video there that three labs now have been able to replicate McKernan's findings.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just throwing it out there and uncontested. He has invited people to analyze the vials and using his methods or materials or whatever else. He was very candid about how he conducted his research and has invited people to replicate it or challenge it. And so far, the other two labs that have contributed their findings are confirming what he has found. So
it's 100% so far. So
yeah.
You've got mRNA, you've got spike, you've got these DNA plasmids. That's what I call the triad. And each one of them has a multiplicity of interactions and methods that they can follow to take life apart. It's staggering. There are people out there, lots and lots of pancreatic cancer now, kidney cancers, brain cancers, cancers everywhere. And before this all started, we were getting very close to one out of one people were going to get cancer in their lifetime. Now what is it? So think about that too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, it's just having the foreign mRNA in the body, forcing the body to keep producing a protein at the expense of its own proteins. I mean, that's two types of viral infections when you look at it that way. You can withstand harboring a virus if it's just sitting there and not monopolizing your own cells' machinery. But the destruction comes when the virus is producing its own proteins at the expense of yours. And then you're going to run into trouble because every cell produces a certain number of proteins at certain times to maintain the body's homeostasis, equilibrium. And when that is messed up, you start to have problems. And there's other viruses that they go in and they will literally cause the destruction of the cell when they begin copying themselves. But this one I would put in the first class where, you know, you can withstand it, the presence of this replicating mRNA. But over time, because it's producing a oncogenic protein, among others, neuropathic cytotoxic protein that poisons other cells, that interferes with signaling, it's utterly devastating. Utterly devastating. So, you know, you're not producing the proteins you need, and you're also overproducing a noxious protein that it's at some point will reach its critical threshold, and the body won't be able to tolerate it anymore.
Nope. All right.
In addition to the autoimmunity that is going to come about from making antibodies to a protein that has so many homologous epitopes, so many sequences in it that look identical to human proteens. Many, many ways to take down an organism, many ways.
This is just, it becomes more satanic and diabolical all the time, the more we learn about it. And don't for a moment
it's
think
it's really mind-blowing.
Like, yeah, well, people like Dr. Robert Malone and others know exactly what's going on with this whole thing. They're not fooled by any of it. Because they're players. They're players in a very ugly game. He's a very smart man. These,
you know,
these
I think
know.
There's people positioning themselves to take advantage of this situation and somehow think they're going to come out looking like heroes.
You got it. Okay, let's jump over to our COVID Chronicles section of human strife and misery. And we take no joy in that, but it is the truth. We have people all over the world who are literally dying. Right now, microclotting may well be the first stage. That happens almost instantly as soon as the spike is produced. And if the spike happens to, it's like a drone swarm. Let's say the spike protein drone swarms your heart. It could shut your heart down. We've explained that.
Yep.
Okay. So where do we want to go? You pick them.
Give me a
Health
date. How far back?
Oh, I do that. Whatever. We can go back. Let me see here. Hold on. Most of May 17th, I'd say 2/3 of it is gone.
All right.
We have May 17th. We have VADS. Career-ending myocarditis, 1 and 2. Chronic cough. Those top four are still unread.
Did we do, does shedding ever stop? Did we do that one?
Which date?
17th.
Shedding ever stop? Yes, according to
we
my...
We did that.
Yeah,
okay.
Five pieces of it. Shedding, getting better or worse, 1 and 2. We didn't do that. That's in the middle.
All right.
Vaxxed relatives, 1 and 2 at the end. Vision
okay.
issues from shedding. We got that too. People are reporting a lot of eye problems. Let's jump on that real quick. Vision issues from shedding. Go ahead.
Just thought I'd share that I've managed to recover some of my eyesight. Quite blurry lately, last 6 months, I think, due to shedding, by taking bentonite clay in a glass of water. I've had it 3 times in the last 2 weeks. The second time, a couple of days ago, I woke up the next day and didn't need a magnifying glass to read the ingredient list on the back of a pot of baking soda. My vision is less blurry, still somewhat blurry, but I can read books, etc., with difficulty, whereas a few days ago, I couldn't read at all without the magnifying glass. I'm supposing the bentonite clay is removing spike proteins or whatever has been worsening my vision. Hopefully, it will keep getting better. Anyway, I hope this helps someone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people are having some success with these issues using, well, we would call this binders, clays, activated charcoal, and zeolite. And that, funnily enough, that is also one of the, well, it's in one of the protocols, some of the protocols for detoxifying from mycotoxins. Because when you have these toxins in you systemically, quite often they want to leave through the liver, gallbladder, and what's effective in some cases is increasing your ability, your bile flow, and you can do that using something like digestive bitters, something that will just stimulate the bile. And then sometime later, half hour later, you would take a binder so that what's being expelled from the liver into the bile is bound up with either this activated charcoal or zeolite or bentonite clay. Those are very, very strong binders that work for a lot of different types of toxins and prevent your body from reabsorbing them, because once they get expelled from the liver, they have to make their way out, and you have a very long digestive tract that at some point might reabsorb these toxins, and you know, you'll be sick all over again.
Right. Right. Okay. Shedding getting better or worse? It starts out with someone saying, "Hey, I haven't been on here in a while. How is everyone, and how are the shedding symptoms? Have we, blah, blah, blah." There's a response to that. "Hello, I don't think it's slowing down any. More people seem to be getting shedded upon, and none, except mostly us, can work it out. Why? My sister has two family members of hers, and they are both going nuts. Number one has a kid to some chick." I don't know what that means. I guess he's fathered a child out of wedlock. "They have never seen a baby go into a hospital that many times, but baby is said to be normal. Number two, mother of baby is a teen, basically, that is also clueless and jabbed. The doctors, etc., none can work out what's wrong with that baby. The mom's sick as well. The dad is in deep, deep depression, living in something.
Tasmania.
This is an Australian thing then, okay. Most depressing place on earth, I think." And there's a response to that. "If we are going to be a little blunt here, well, here goes. Number one, the world has now overall gotten sicker. Number two, before the COVID, you may have been able to dabble anywhere to find some company or change oil or some comfort." Not sure what that means. Number three, "The equation has just shifted dramatically. I now treat the vaxxed like they have HIV from the 1980s. You can look, but don't touch, or you get shedded upon and sick. Number four, that has split the world into 25% versus 75%. Number five, if I buy an AI, Alexa, will she need to have those injections? Will she shed on me? Is she a shedder? I have many questions." I hope she's being facetious.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, okay. The second one. Oh, it's just a short. I'll finish it. "If we are going to be a little blunt here," so that's how she started the last one. And someone answered, "I got a pedicure recently after the massage. And I felt so sick." Well, where has this poor woman been? No surprise at all. You cannot hands-on with anyone who treats the general public. Forget it. Manicure, pedicure, massage, forget it. And I'd say it's wise not to go into a tanning salon either. I don't want to say that, but it's true. They're not cleaning these beds with anything more than a lightweight disinfectant. So,
yeah.
Good luck wiping up nanotech on those beds. All right. Chronic cough. I don't know what that is.
Let's see.
Yeah, go ahead. Do that one. That might be good. Because there are a lot of people coughing out there now. Lots.
Yeah, there are. Good day. I work as a cashier, and every time I attend to many jabbed people, I suffer under severe dry cough that my lungs even ache. Has anyone a home remedy against severe coughing? Thank you for helpful advice in advance. I don't visit doctors anymore because the doctors I encountered so far in Switzerland are nothing but arrogant, unscrupulous, avaricious creatures without any sense of empathy who are not interested in curing but making money.
Wow.
You've got it.
Kind of the same story over here, isn't it? In many cases.
Yep.
Well, it's quite a horror, the whole business of modern medicine. All right. Let's jump up here. What do we got? Family Strife, do you remember that one? And May 24th? Was that a good string? Help
sure.
for shedding. Do the Family Strife. All right, here we go. "I think the vaxxed are emotionally void, empty, no feelings, and often cruel and cold. My daughter banned me for 2 years and only reconnected a month ago. We met twice, and now she's banned me for another year, only because I informed her a couple of weeks ago she took her three kids, 6, 4, and 2, to get the flu shot. I warned her as a mom, children have best immunity, don't need flu shot, and now it's rebranded with mRNA. They're coming for kids now. I sent her Stu Peters' video, but she won't listen. Instead, called me a conspiracy theorist all the time. Condition for me to them is to get off social media and only watch TV. I did a white lie in order to see the kids, but the link of that video I sent to her, she knew I'm still on Facebook and here. That's control. She controls me to follow her way. Trust the government and Big Pharma indoctrinated. Doctors in general. She's in the rabbit hole. Nothing I can do to wake her up. She just texted me, don't bother trying to explain and pretend that you're sorry. Don't pretend that, quote, now you know you overstepped your boundaries, end quote. The truth is that you lied to me in our conversations on the phone and at the cafe, that you have stopped reading all of this nonsense. All you have proven is that you are still knee-deep in conspiracies. I'm done wasting my time trying to include you and our family. This is talking to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be convinced. Your mind is so blurred with rubbish, you can't even see what's reality and bullshit on the internet. You can't tell the difference. Either way, it looks like you're willing to wait it out and see, quote, when the truth comes out, end quote. Well, good luck with that. All I know is that we are not waiting around for anything, but enjoying life as much as we can while we can, regardless of what is or will happen. So as I said to you on the phone, I'll give you 1 year to see. Apparently, if you change your ways, have fun waiting around in your version of the truth. Don't even bother contacting me. Told me if I ever knock on her door, she'll call the police and get an intervention order. I tried and tried to wake up the sheep. Unfortunately, the whole family are still burying their heads in the sand. So I don't know where this person is. Maybe Australia. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's not uncommon. There are a lot of people that have been shunned by their families.
Your own daughter with children banishes
you
for 2 years just because you have a different opinion?
I know.
And want to help? And then 1 year, an added penalty? You got another year in prison. It is horrible.
It is horrible.
Go ahead.
Okay, in response to that, someone says, that is such a sad story. Unfortunately, I believe it's the same for many of us. My older daughter recently called me Satan for trying to spread lies.
Oh.
She used the children against me for control, too, but that was many years before the COVID vax. I'm just trying to save at least one in our family. I have a lot of grandchildren, too, and 2 great-grandchildren. They have all either taken it or been shedded on. It's also very sad and infuriating. My husband said that if I would quit looking stuff up, I wouldn't worry about everything. So that's where I am now.
Quit looking stuff up. That's right. Stop that research. Don't do that. Go ahead and finish it.
Question, do you give your daughter the silent treatment now? Answer, well, I kind of blocked her. I will unblock her when I am less mad. But no, I don't plan on calling her. I can't help them when they won't listen or even check things out. My one daughter said for me to post on Facebook about things, but we all know that wouldn't work. I mailed her information to help her immune system. Started there. A common cold left her sick in bed for 2 to 3 weeks. She's triple vaxxed.
All right, well, you all know what that means. She's got AIDS. VAIDS, whatever you want to call it. So a common cold, which is a coronavirus, by the way, put her in bed for 2 to 3 weeks. 3 shots. You know, I think the other aspect, and I hope we can find some more about this, that these shots change people's personalities. They're not the same people anymore. They aren't. And that will maybe make it easier for some people to try to make sense out of utterly irrational behavior like we've been just hearing. It's awful. Just dreadful. I don't know. Wow. Thank you all for paying attention, for being here, for caring, for doing your research. Yes, keep looking it up. Don't stop. Thanks.
Indeed.
Great job.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Good night, everyone.
All right, we will be back, our little team, on Wednesday. Hope to talk to you then. And we'll be back with Hour 3 of tonight's program for you next.